7 of the study guide. We're looking at the parables, sort of winding this down. And we actually read the parable from the 10th chapter of John on the parable of the Good Shepherd. And Jesus is saying to the people that anybody that makes an entry any way other than the door into the sheepfold was making an illegal entry. He said they're thieves and robbers, okay? And the legal entry into a person, to an individual, is their heart. You appeal to the spirit man. You go to the heart. If you're people that are trying to get you in an emotional arena to where you make decisions out of emotions or make an illegal entry, people that are trying to impress you with intellectualism and philosophy, they're making an illegal entry. God will speak to you by the Spirit. He will make a legal entry into you. This is the way the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of God does not work with manipulation. The kingdom of God doesn't try to impress you. God just tells you the facts, and He gives you all the facts on the table, no secrets. And this is what it will take if you're going to be in this kingdom. Not once you get there, start springing surprises on you. Okay? Now, Jesus says that He's the door to the sheepfold, so that means the only way is through Jesus. So all the appeal should be made through Jesus. He said the sheep know the voice of their own shepherd, and they follow Him. They do not follow a stranger. And I like to just really place attention on the fact that the Scriptures are the Word of God. This began with words. It was spoken. It was a voice. It says, holy men of God were moved. They heard the voice. They recorded what the voice said. And today we call it the Bible. Okay? And so, God leads by the Scriptures through His Word. The shepherd is going to speak in agreement with the Word. Let me say it that way. Okay? And so, I could say that the sheep know the Scriptures. The sheep know the Word of God. They know when something's said that doesn't agree with the Word, with the Scriptures. And they don't follow that. They're going to follow what's scripturally correct, not what's politically correct. You follow me? So, those who accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, it's like a baby learning the voice. We're born and we start learning the voice. We start learning the Word. You know, babies don't come out talking. You notice that? We make all the decisions for them. We do their talking for them and all that type stuff. But in the process of that, we do the training. And as they grow, they're trained to know the voice. If somebody says, your daddy said you could do this, if they said something off base, I'll guarantee you my kids know my daddy didn't say that. You follow me? We should know that about our Father God. When somebody says, God said, we should know whether or not God said. If we know the Word of God, we're going to know, no, that's not Him. That's not the voice. So we won't follow that. That's strange. And so we're not going to follow something strange. Those who accept Jesus will be saved. Those who reject Jesus won't be saved. There is not another way to the kingdom of God. There's one way. Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. That's the only way you're going to get there. And it's amazing to me today how many evangelicals are saying there's more than one way. No, there's not. There's one way. They don't know the voice. Anybody that's telling you that does not know the voice. It's blind leading blind. They're destined for the ditch. The thief comes for the purpose of stealing, killing, and destroying. Now, God gets a bad rap, especially at funerals. Okay? Because people will start telling how God took this, God took that, and God needed this, and God needed that. I'm going to tell you who kills. It's the devil. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. God has never stolen anything from me. You understand? He's not a thief. He's not a murderer. He's not one that takes pleasure in destruction. You follow me? But if you don't know Him, if you don't know His Word, and you don't know His character, you can listen to a lie and follow a stranger. And it's going to lead to destruction. Jesus says His purpose for coming here was to give life, not just life, abundant life. Not death, abundant life. He died so that we could live. But do you know that shepherd? Do you know His voice? Do you know His Word? Do you know His ways? A good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, I've observed this over the years, especially in ministry, how when things get tough, a lot of pastors resign. The church gets in financial trouble, the pastor resigns and goes somewhere else and leaves the people with all the bills, or leaves the people to face the enemy. A good shepherd will lay his life down for the sheep. Now, what I learned is many people who are pastoring churches are actually hirelings. They've been hired to be the pastor of the church. You with me? The church pays them to do their job. I'm going to tell you, I've pastored, if you want to call it that, oversee is what I call it, two churches. And God spoke to me about both of them. The only reason I was there is because God told me to get there. And that one church, I won't go into all the detail, but because of some situations, I had some guest speakers in, not a lot. And the Lord was dealing with me about going to other parts of the world. And I had one person to meet me in the foyer and said, "We paid you to do this." I said, "You don't pay me to do anything. You didn't hire me. You can't fire me. The only reason I'm at this place is because God set me here." And yeah, I said it with that type of zeal. "Don't you ever tell me you hired me in the ministry. You don't. God's the one that sent me in the ministry. You understand? And if the people controlled you, you're a hireling. God sent me there to lead the people, not follow the people." Now, you get accused of being egotistical. You get accused of being dictatorial. But it's neither egotistical nor dictatorial. It's called theocratic rule. God says, you tell them what God says, there's no rebuttal. That's the way the kingdom of God works. But if you don't know the voice of the shepherd, you won't know the shepherd's talking to you. And so you won't listen to the shepherd. You want what you want, not what he wants. And this is a problem we're having in the churches today. Is the people that should be leading, the leaders should be leading the people, but the people are leading the leaders. Give me what I want. And that's why we're in the mess we're in today. Is because people have bowed down to people. The shepherd will die before he'll yield to it. No. This is what God says. This is what we're going to do. Now you find out whether or not you want to get into ministry. You understand? But I'm a firm believer that you don't ask the people for advice. You stay before God and the Holy Spirit, and you seek the counsel of God, and you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, whether He does it in your heart, or God may send somebody from 500 miles away to tell you something, or call you up and tell you something. The Lord said this, you go with the Lord, not the majority. You understand? God is not democratic, never has been, never will be. He has no part of those demons. Demon. Okay, I'll go on. One who's hired to keep the sheep will not properly protect and defend the sheep. If he's hired to keep them, you know what he's interested in? His check. He's interested in his benefits. And I'm going to tell you, it's time for ministers to start evaluating themselves. Why is it that I'm in the ministry? Is it for the check? Is it for the benefit? Or is it because God said so? If God said so, then God will take care of me. And God has taken care of me. I'm not here to get wealthy. Could care less about it. It's all going down the drain anyway. But the kingdom of God's not. You're better off to lay your treasures up in heaven. Many churches have hired a man to lead the people. And so they didn't get a pastor. They just called him a pastor. They got a hireling. They didn't get a shepherd. Actually, the word pastor, I don't know if you know this or not, but the word pastor is not even a New Testament word. It's not in the New Testament. Did you know that? The word pastors, plural, is in the New Testament only one time, and that's in Ephesians chapter 4 when he talks about the fivefold ministry. The Greek word that's been translated as pastors, the Greek word poema, which 17 times they translated as shepherd. Now, why in Ephesians 4:11 they wanted to put it pastors is beyond me. The correct translation would be shepherd. Okay, and some of your other translations will say shepherd. But if you hire a person, you got a hireling, not a shepherd. The true shepherd doesn't seek his own comfort. You think about this in the natural. And I have, when I first went into ministry, I studied the natural shepherd. I read about it. I watched some things on the natural shepherd from other countries where it's just actual footage of shepherds shepherding sheep. He lives with them. You know that? The shepherd lives with the sheep. He's not out here in some palace. He's where the people are. He's experiencing the elements that the sheep experience. And I'm telling you right now, you look at leaders, and God in the Old Testament, when you see the word pastors, it's talking about the kings. It's talking about the leaders of nations. That's who He's referring to. You look at the leaders of nations, do they live like you? Not in your life, they won't live like you. They don't even live by the same standards, the same rules, the same regulations. They say, you do this, but they don't live by that. You understand? They're living in their palaces or white houses or whatever. You understand? The shepherd is with the sheep. Jesus was with his sheep. You could touch Jesus. You understand? You could rub shoulders with Jesus. Jesus didn't have an entourage encircling him, protecting him. Like your big ministers do today. He didn't have his bodyguards. He was touchable. The shepherd's touchable. So you'll know if they're a shepherd or not. Do they experience what you experience? Can they actually relate to you? You know, we have this old adage now, I feel your pain. No, you don't feel my pain. Most people that tell you that don't feel your pain. They may have had some similar experience, but they don't feel your pain. Jesus does. You understand? And the Spirit of God in a person will move in with such a compassionate way that shepherd is going to go toward the sheep bar they're going to go where the need is. You look at Jesus, compassion moved him. A shepherd is a compassionate person. And you'll find this about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God operates with compassion. It's not forceful. It's not dictatorial. It's with compassion that God reaches out to us. Even in correction, it's still a compassion because He doesn't want us hurt. And so if God corrects us, it's for our benefit, not for His benefit. Well, I'm going to have my way. That's not the way the shepherd operates. The true shepherd's not seeking his comforts. He's not self-seeking. His interest is in the welfare of the sheep. You understand? And He'll take care of the sheep. I have more appreciation today for the 23rd Psalm than I ever had. I actually got burnt out on it, if you want to call it that. I got tired of hearing it. You understand? It's so misused. And practically, you know, if you most any funeral you go to, you're going to hear the 23rd Psalm. If you don't hear it from the speaker, you're going to read it in the little, whatever you call it, program, okay? You're going to see the 23rd Psalm. And it's just become meaningless to people. But David had a revelation. David was a shepherd. And I find it very interesting that God chose a shepherd to shepherd Israel. And He started out with sheep, literal. And then He started leading renegades, nobody wanted, disgruntled people. Made a mighty army out of them. You understand? He worked his way up through the ranks. And by the time God set him as the king of Israel, he had experience not only with sheep, but he had experience with people. He lived with the army. He went out to battle with the army. He didn't send the army out. He went out with them. He led them. And what you have today is what we call leaders that aren't leading. They're sending you out. They're telling you what to do. That's not a leader to me. A leader's going to go before you. Let's go fight this war, all right? Let us do it. But it's usually not us. It's them. Not with God. You won't go where God doesn't go with you. The shepherd will stay with you. Always. The hireling will run, not the shepherd. The shepherd will be right there with you through thick and thin. And when situations get tough, hirelings resign. Shepherds don't. They weather the storm. Jesus weathered the storm. You understand? And Jesus in these gifts will weather the storm as well. The power to lay down and to pick up life was given to Jesus by His Father. Smite the shepherd, the flock will scatter. Remember the prophecy? But the shepherd didn't stay dead. You know what? He regathered the flock that scattered. His own disciples, every one of them left him high and dry. His apostles left him there in the Garden of Gethsemane by himself. But he regrouped. When he resurrected, he got them back. He didn't chide them for leaving him. He instructed them and then empowered them with the Holy Spirit. And you don't find them running anymore after that. As a matter of fact, they stand in the face of the opposition and say, "You crucified the Messiah." You understand? No backing down now. Why? Because now they've got the goods. They're not interested in themselves now. They're interested in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you, a true shepherd of God is interested in the kingdom of God, not the kingdoms of the world. It's amazing to me how the dynasties that have been built by ministers and the wealth that's been accumulated by ministers, I'm talking about multi-millions of dollars of their worth. I don't see that Why would I be a multimillionaire and beg for your money all the time? If I really had an interest in what I said I had an interest in, I'd be using my money. You with me? So everything out here looks like a shepherd's not a shepherd. Just because you wear the clothes doesn't make you a shepherd. Just because you put a title on yourself doesn't mean that you operate with that gift. We better wake up. You know, the principle revealed here with Jesus laying down his life, picking it up, it's not that we're to let someone else dictate when we leave this body. But people do that. Well, he only has 3 months to live. He only has 6 months to live. And, you know, the lifespan of a human being is this. So once you get a certain age, you just prepare to die. That's not the counsel of God. My life's mine. I'll never die. I already have. I'm going to live forever. How about you? This body's not who I am. It's just a tent I'm living in. Tents are temporary dwellings. You understand? But the life's eternal. So, all these people that have been martyred, did you take their life? No, you didn't take their life. They laid it down, they'll pick it back up. We'll lay it down, we'll pick it back up, and there's not a thing you can do about it. You can't stop it. No government can stop you from picking your life back up. You understand? You have to rest in that type of assurance. Jesus' life was not taken from him. He said, "No man takes my life." We're not to allow our lives to be taken from us. You understand, these martyrs, they gave their lives. They could have taken a different route if they were interested in self-preservation. But disciples of Jesus aren't interested in self-preservation. They're interested in self-denial. Well, the difference between the two, isn't there? When Jesus finished his assignment, he laid his life down. Well, when we finish our assignment, we can lay this physical life down. And we'll come back and get the bones later. You understand? That's what Jesus said, "Handle me and see if the spirit has flesh and bone." But that was a different type body. They didn't even recognize the one they knew so well. Physically, you're recognized by the Spirit. I've had people ask me, well, I know people when I get to heaven. I said, of course you will. The Spirit knows. You know what I mean. Well, I recognize. I said, listen, you're not going in a physical body. Mom and Daddy are not going to have a physical body. We're talking about a spiritual body. We're talking about a glorified body. Who cares what it looks like? You go know by the Spirit. You'll actually be introduced to the real person. And a lot of people hide behind bodies. They present themselves as something they're not. All types of facades make you think they're something. I won't start meddling, but I could go on that, but I won't, okay? You learn some things about the shepherd when you look at the life of Jesus Christ. That is your example of a shepherd. What did he do for himself while he was here? What did he do for you? You see the difference? He wasn't looking out after his welfare. His interest was to finish the work that his Father had given him. And that's my goal in this life, is to finish the work. Not start it. Not just run in the race, but finish the race and finish it well, doing what he's called me to do, not competing against anybody else. But you're fulfilling an assignment, and there's a difference. You follow me? Okay. All right. So, we've got the parable of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we go let me get my right page number here. I'm about to jump ahead of myself. And then we go to 68, right? And what's 68? Vine and the branches. I've been waiting to get to this one. I tell you what, when I looked at this, I couldn't help but think about Gary Green. Gary, the name of his ministry was Purpose in the Vine. And his thesis that he did was on the purpose in the vine. And he did tremendous research on natural grapes, vintage, grafting. You wouldn't believe the work that he did. Took this thing all the way back to the Garden of Eden and had some profound revelation in all this. So there's a tremendous message in this parable. Okay? Now, I'm not going to go into all the detail that Gary went into, but I'm going to give you what I believe the Lord is wanting us to glean out of this parable. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine dresser." A lot of people overlook that part. Father looks out after the vineyard. Okay? Jesus is the vine, the life source. Okay? He said, "Every branch," and that's us, the believer, "every branch in me that does not bear fruit," note this, "he takes away." If you're not bearing fruit, you're useless. Think about it. "And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." And everybody has to be pruned. "You're already clean because the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me." Now, he didn't stop there. He said, "and I in you." Reciprocate. I'm in you, you in me. Stay there. Stay there. You keep me there, you stay there. Abide in me, I in you. "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Have you ever seen a branch, let's lay it off to the side, bearing fruit? Can't do it. "I am the vine, you're the branches." Now he's reiterating, okay? "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, but without me you can do nothing." Now we need to get that revelation. "For without me you can do nothing." Without Jesus I can't do anything. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Now, let me just put this in. People are misusing this. Well, you know, the Bible says if you're in him and his words abides in you, you can ask anything you want to. If you're in him and his words in you, you're not going to ask against his will. That's the bottom line. And you can ask. He wants us to ask. He says, "Ask, and it'll be done for us," right? So, "by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples." So, for all those that want to glorify the Father, bear fruit. And your fruit bearing will let people know you're a disciple of Jesus. You don't have to tell them. They'll see it by the fruit you bear. We know that Jesus is the life source for the believer, and God the Father is the caretaker of the life source. You remember when Jesus was crucified, He said, "Father, into Your hand I commit my spirit. I'm trusting You to bring me out where no man's come out from before." Okay. So, God the Father is the caretaker of the life source. We're the productive part of Jesus in the earth. Therefore, we're to produce fruit. Now, you don't have to be a horticulturist to understand that the life of the branch comes out of the vine. You follow me? And so if you're not connected to the vine and drawing life out of that vine, you can't produce fruit. And so if you're not abiding in Jesus, and then what Jesus has is going into you, His Word, you abide in Me and I in you. That's how this thing works. Stay in the vine and let what the vine has get into you. The Word and the Spirit of God. Okay? You let that get into you. That gives you the ability to produce what you can't produce. You cut a branch off and it don't have to lay there long. In a very short period of time, you'll see the leaves start withering. Start turning brown. It can't do anything. It's dead because it's been severed from the life source. I'm telling you, too many people have severed themselves from the life source. So, well, let me put it this way. They put themselves in a position to be severed. Okay? Now, in studying all this stuff, looking at, especially with Gary's writings and all, I learned a little bit about grapes. How important it is to prune, how important it is to cut back. Not one time, you have to constantly stay on top of the game and get rid of anything that is hindering the life. Dead needs to be broken off. And then any kind of dead branches He's going to take off. Now, I want you to listen to this. Because they're diseased, and so they throw them in the fire to burn them so the disease can't spread. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of disease in the church world today that needs to be cut off and burned so it can't spread. Now, that's not your job. That's the Father's. Jesus doesn't do that. The Father takes care of the vine. So it's the Father who determines the pruning. It's the Father who determines the cutting off. Do you understand? And the Father determines that by looking at the branch to see what the branch is doing. So what am I doing for the Lord? Am I productive for the Lord? Am I a good servant for the Lord? See, this just fits into some of the other parables as far as principles goes, you understand. And so the Father's looking out for the welfare of the vine. I want healthy fruit. Healthy branches. I want the kingdom of God flourishing. You understand? And so God is looking out after this vine to see that this kingdom flourishes. So we have to stay in Jesus. And Jesus has to stay in us. Now, I can't overemphasize this. Jesus staying in you is not you just making a confession and always believing that Jesus is in me. That's not what that's saying. When He says you abide in Me and My words abide in you. Not one or two, not a favorite scripture. But what I'm saying, what I have said, what I am saying, you let that stay in you. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Their life. To those that find them. Why? Because they came out of the vine. Supplying the life source to the branch. Extremely important that we stay connected to the Word of God. And if we don't stay in Jesus, we are destined to be cut off. You understand? That's not we may be, we will be cut off. And people talk about eternal security. I believe in eternal security as long as you don't reject. But if you reject, you walk away, you walk away from the vine, then you're no longer eternally secure. Our security is in Him. If you understand these branches were in the vine? He said, if you're not producing fruit, I will cut you out. Or the Father will cut you out. I got a lot in me I want to say here if I can get it out. I'm going to need supernatural help to get it out because I see such a problem. I see such a deception where people think because they've made a confession that that's the end of it. He says he who endures to the end will be saved. He who endures to the end will be saved. Many are going to apostatize. There's going to be a great falling away. You can't fall from it if you've never been there. You with me? But they're going to be enticed by things out here. They'll be enticed by the natural, and they'll leave the spiritual. And when that happens, you cut yourself off from life. You're no longer good. God doesn't need you. And I'm going to have to stop here. We'll take a break and I'll come back. There's still some things to be said here, okay?